Okay, what do you do? In everything, prayer, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Okay, that's key here. Because you enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. So when something hits you, the minute it hits you, not 20 minutes after you've worried about it and put it on the throne and made it big and fat and ugly and just taking over, but the minute it peeps this little tiny squeaker at you to think on this, you begin to say, God, I thank you that you already know the answer. God, I thank you that you're going to work this out. God, I thank you for all the things you've done in my past. God, I thank you for how good the word is. And the enemy is going to put that little peeper in there. But what about the, God, I thank you that I'm not caring about other people's circumstances because I don't know all their situations and I'm not their judge. And I'm not looking to what happened to that sister when she went through that or that brother. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are big enough to go in and rescue them. And right now, God, I'm just going to pray for them. But I thank you, God, that I'm not going to worry based on somebody else and where they're walking with you, because truthfully, God, I didn't know much of this. And if people were looking at me trying to base everything on what I was doing, that would be terrible when it cancels out your word. And anybody who doesn't agree with that statement has a lot of pride. Just because I wounded my little back doesn't mean that I'm not going to preach healing. And it's been self-righteous and judgmental when you see someone who's working through something and you don't listen to them if they're saying the word of God because they don't seem to be living it according to your estimation. Oh, that's another nail in the coffin of self-righteousness right there. Oh, I was the expert at that one. You know, you reap what you've sowed. So you don't know how many people are sowing something that they reap that has nothing to do with their lack of faith. It's just they were so self-righteous in what they knew that now they're going through. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. That is so sad for me. I'm thinking I'm bound to be close to the side of reaping the good stuff. I've reaped a lot of good stuff starting. But my gosh, I can't believe all the bad I got to reap. But then when I stop and think about all the bad things I have sowed with my thoughts, with my words, with my attitudes, I am just so thankful for mercy. Thank you, God. And when I look at what some people are sowing and how some people are acting, and I know I was just like that before, all I can yell at anymore is, God, have mercy. God, have mercy on our nation. God, have mercy on the church. God, have mercy on everything and everybody. It's only by his mercy we'll ever get through any of this. And when you really know that you know that, you know God has shown you and dealt with some things in your heart. All right. So, when worry hits, begin to thank God. You thank God until you have an atmosphere of praise in your heart and an atmosphere of faith. I don't care if it takes a day, 2 days, 3 days, an hour a week. Whatever it takes, do not let your mind go back thinking on fear. Just keep filling it up with thanksgiving. Just fill up your mind. Just drown out that little devil of worry. Just make him void. Just make him so he can't wait to get out of there. Ah, thanksgiving of God. Drown him. Atmosphere of thanksgiving. Get the atmosphere of faith. Your thanksgiving, you enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Begin to pray. Who does that in the Bible so well? David. If you don't know how to do it, start reading it. David, if he's down, it's not long before the Holy Spirit comes along and he starts talking about all the great things God has done. God, you didn't get me through that. You know, devil, well, you went through this, you went through that. You need to stop and say, no, God got me through that. God got me through that. God didn't bring me this far to pull out on me now. God did did not get my children this far in life for them not to serve him now. God did not do this much in my marriage to see it over now. God did not bring me this far to put me in bankruptcy now. Devil, you are a liar. God has done great things for me. And you begin to declare them and to declare them, and don't let Satan steal them. Edie, what was that thing that you had that was so bad? Because every time God would do something, the enemy would take her backwards. Do you remember what that was? Because when we closed that door and you're thinking, she grew so much faster in the things of God. It used to take 2 or 3 days to get her to a revelation that wasn't that hard, because this thing would come up. What was that thing? Negate. She had a spirit to negate everything that God had ever done. It was an actual spirit, and that spirit means to void out and call it of no effect what God had done. And it was a real spirit. The minute you would start to talk to her about a problem, this thing and try to would come up and try to steal everything God had ever done. So it was almost like you had to start all the way over, tell her everything God had done for her, re-go over it. It was very powerful. And then she would argue with you about why what you're saying wasn't going to work for her every single time. And I was finally like, why do you do that? Oh, wait a minute, I got to figure out what this is. I thought, we got rid of Negate. And let me tell you what, it has been day and night getting her to the other side on something now. What used to take 2 or 3 days and 5 people talking to her and praying in tongues for a half an hour, now she can usually get, you know, because she doesn't steal what God has done. If you have a devil that negates everything, it steals what God has done so you have no testimony. It steals what God has done so you don't have a place to begin your Thanksgiving. And the devil knows if they can't get to Thanksgiving, they're going to be worrying. Write that one down to get out tonight too. Negate. This is a big night. This is a devil stomping night. See, we do that. We don't just do this on Tuesdays. This is life. I mean, God is life, but if you're living around people who've got issues, which everybody has issues, so this is, and you start moving in the gifts of the Spirit, they don't just, God doesn't say, oh, I'm going to hang up the gifts of discerning spirits and deliverance until Tuesday night at 7:30. You know, you want people, you're a deliverance minister. No, I'm not. I'm just a woman who loves God, who's filled with the Spirit of God, and he's the deliverance minister. Yeah, he's going to deliver only when you need deliverance. The thing is, that could be a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week thing to do if you live in the world. But thank God, he doesn't make you focus on just one thing. But if people need to focus there more, it's not that much fun, but it is awesome to watch God set people free. Yay, God. All right. So, in everything, by prayer and petition. All right. I have a teaching on this back there somewhere. I don't know which one it is, but it's a really good one. And it talks about the different kinds of prayer. I'm not going to get into that tonight. Maybe we'll do that a Friday night. You can study it, get some books on it. But there are different kinds of prayer, and there's petition. Petition is calling out for someone else. Prayer is for yourself. Prayer is relationship with God. Talk to God like you would a friend, because he should be your friend. Don't get an all holy kind of fake spiritual thing when you're talking to God. Mountaintop prayer might be a really good one to listen to. That's about going to the secret place, but that's the tape series. Maybe we'll give it away during the offering. Mountaintop prayer. But you just talk to him. He already knows what you're grumbling in your head, so you just will go ahead and get it out so you can repent and tell him you're sorry. You know? It's funny. You need to talk out loud. You know, nowadays it's easy. Everybody's walking around talking out loud with Bluetooth. Everybody just looks insane. I'm hilarious. I can just witness anywhere and not even be on the phone, but make people think that I am. All I have to do is call somebody that I'm doing deliverance with. Call them right when I walk in a store. And then I walk around going, you got to get that devil out. She's got to get that devil out. I got long hair, so nobody could even see my Bluetooth. I'm serious. I said, sometimes I even have to go to the other room because, like, oh, my God, people are looking at me. It's like, I said, well, did you say this to them? You need to tell the devil. He needs to get away from you. You need to lift up the name of Jesus. And people are like, she's talking to me. What's she talking? Yeah. So there's prayer, there's petition, everything with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Okay, when you do this, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when you thank him, When you talk to him, when you petition him, when you lift up his name, there is, how will you know if you're doing that? A peace, not anxiety, but a peace will flood your soul that surpasses understanding. Nobody can figure it out. How can you have such peace in this? Don't let the devil lie to you and say you don't care if you have peace. Some of you are so used to worrying that if you have peace, you start thinking maybe you don't care. No, when you have peace, you have faith. When you have true peace, now how do you know it's not just complacency? Because complacency, you're not talking to God, you're not thanking God, you're not lifting things up in prayer, you're not bringing to him. Complacency, you're just looking the other way and hoping it goes away. That doesn't work. In prayer, there is a specific dialogue between you and God, and you know you're talking to him. And in that place of dialogue and talking to him, he floods you with peace, which is saying, I am taking over. I'm taking over. And you say, okay, let's just see how we do this. He doesn't always tell you right away. It's supernatural. But remember this. When you have the peace that your brain's not going to understand, people aren't going to understand it, nobody's going to get it. It's beyond that. When that happens, then that peace is going to keep your heart, which is your spirit man, it's going to keep everything that's going around you, and your mind, your soul and your heart, the soul and your spirit are going to be focused on Jesus Christ. Everything's focused on Jesus. Everything's focused on what he's saying. Everything's focused on the word. A really good way to do this is read the word of God. Get books or testimonies in the area that you're dealing with and totally saturate yourself with everything that God has to say. Keep listening to it. Keep believing it, because you have to build up yourself in your most holy faith. Okay? He goes on to say, for the rest, for everything else, for you do all this, but I want you to do this too. For everything that comes, whatever is true, truth is the word of God. Whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, if it has any virtue, if any praise, think on these things. And what things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you revived your thinking of me, although indeed did think but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak as to need, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. He's saying here, you know what? I don't need you to tell me that I'm helping you. I don't need you to tell me that I'm of God. I don't need you to tell me that, you know, I've really done things right in your life. I like hearing it. It encourages me. But you know what? I have learned to be content. I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Whatever's going on in my life, my contentment is talking to God. My contentment is having the peace of God. My contentment is that I don't have to get you to agree with me. My contentment is that I know that I know that I know that it's right with me and God. Nobody else has to understand that. Nobody else has to believe me. I don't have to convince you. There comes that peace that passes understanding. Today I was talking to the Lord with my son, called me not feeling good the other day. He's at NIH, which was a normal appointment he had to go to, you know, but the enemy was attacking everything. And then this back thing and all, and every, you know, stuff that's going on. And so I'm driving along, I'm making jokes and stuff. And it's like, sometimes it's good just to have a conversation with you and God where you're actually doing the talking so you can know what you believe. And I said, Lord, because sometimes you got wrong thinking in there. You don't even know what's in there. And I said, you know, Lord, this back thing happening twice, you know, the devil would want me to start thinking I'm this old lady with back problems that needs to do this and be careful and run to the doctor and do this and do that. And you do whatever the Lord shows you to do. I said, but God, I can't even see myself that way. I can't even see that. Is I know that I'm not going to be a person walking around with back problems. I'm not judging anybody else who has, because I'm learning in this to repent of all that. And Lord, you showed me my self-righteousness that's opened the door for these things. And I'm closing that door not because I don't want my back to hurt, but because, God, I don't want to be self-righteous. How dare I think for one second that there's anything good in me except for you? How dare I think that I could change any circumstance except for what you change. How dare I look at somebody and think that could never happen to me? Because God, without you, anything could happen to me. But God, deep in my heart, I have the peace that passes understanding that no matter what I walk through, you have healed my son and he will be completely whole. I haven't been able to make it happen. I can't call the shots. I had to learn all this. People can take their doctrine of telling God what to do, of commanding angels, of declaring a thing and all their other baloney in their pride and get the revelation that when I declare something, the only time it's going to have any power is when I've surrendered and God's declaring it through me. The only time when I speak that it's going to create anything that's for God's glory is when I've surrendered and it's His Holy Spirit speaking through me. Let's be real. If this stuff worked the other way, we would have all self-destructed by now because we couldn't handle that kind of power. Every one of us would make the world what we want it to be, and every one of us would make everybody looking to us. If you really had the power and the authority to stop all sickness, is there anybody in your family or friends who would ever be sick again? Who would ever need God? If you were really in charge of this, that would actually make you God. And that's the pride in that false doctrine that is being presented out there.